All right. I got to admit, it is a weird story that we're told in Acts today. It's a weird story. Imagine being there in that group of apostles talking with Jesus and asking him if it's time yet. Time for God's kingdom to be restored. Time for God's kingdom to come. He's been raised from the dead, after all. Surely if God can do that, then it must be time for God to make everything right and turn the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. I am ready. But Jesus doesn't say, yes, it's time. No. Jesus tells us that it's not for us to know the times and seasons that God has put in God's own power. It's not for us to know the answer to the question we just asked. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being told that it's not for me to know something. It just makes me mad. And it also makes me even more curious to know the answer to that question than I was in the first place. And then, here I am, all upset, because Jesus has just told me it's not for me to know. And right in the middle of the conversation, Jesus takes off. He's rising right up into the air. And pretty soon, I'm looking at the bottoms of his sandals, and then I'm straining to see him, and then he just disappears into the clouds. And where did he even go? And he didn't even say goodbye. Just, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Whatever that means. Whenever that is. I don't want to wait. I want the kingdom to come now. I see so many without a helper. Where is the father of orphans, defender of widows? I see so many who are isolated and alone. Where is the God who gives the solitary a home? I see so many in jail and so many in prisons of their own making. Where is the God who brings the prisoners into freedom? I see so many hungry and homeless. Where is the God who makes provision for the poor? I see the creation groaning under its destructive human rulers. Where is the God who rides the heavens and gives rest to the land when it is weary? Like the author of 1 Peter, I'm still waiting for God's reign to come. And I'm very aware that we are not in glory. We're in the middle of suffering. And we know that our brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering that we are. If you're like me, you want God to come down right now and fix it all. Take it all away. Make it all better. But Jesus says, I'm giving you power. Power to bear witness to me and to my vision for the world. Power to work for justice. Power to love. Spirit-filled, holy, on-fire power. Here in this world, where it often feels like so much is wrong and so little is right, God challenges us to use the power that God has given us. It isn't easy or painless or without cost. The writers of the New Testament knew all about the cost of following Jesus. But 1 Peter invites us, like those first century Christians and like faithful Christians throughout history, to share in Christ's sufferings, to humble ourselves. And when we're overwhelmed and afraid and feel like it is just too much, to cast all our anxiety on God, and to know that God will be there for us, and God will give us the power to do what God calls us to do. A few months ago in Utah, a fifth grade boy was in his class on the day before Thanksgiving, and the substitute teacher had asked everybody to tell the class what they were thankful for. And a lot of the students had said things like, "I'm thankful for all the turkey and pie and great food that we're going to have tomorrow." And, "I'm thankful that we get a break from school." But this fifth grader had been in five different foster homes, and he'd had a failed adoption. And he told the class that what he was thankful for was that the home he was living in right now with two dads was going to become his forever family, that his two dads were going to adopt him. And the fellow students, number of them, like patted him on the back and said, "That is great. That is so wonderful. We are so happy for you." But the substitute teacher that day did not pat him on the back and congratulate him. She said, "Why would you be thankful for a thing like that? Two dads? That's a sin. That's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong in God's eyes." And she went on, and she would not leave it alone. Well, three girls in that classroom were not having it. And they started saying, "No, no, 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 that is not right. Be quiet. You need to be quiet, teacher. That's wrong. What you're saying is wrong. No, 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 no." And when the teacher just kept going on and would not stop, one of those girls stayed with that boy to comfort him and stand up for him. And two of them went to the principal's office with the teacher saying, "You're going to get in trouble if you leave this room." Three girls, 10 and 11 years old, stood up for love. And the principal came back and she said to the teacher, "Leave now. This minute, and do not ever come back. You are not welcome in this school ever again." And she called the boy's dad and told him that he'd been bullied at school. And the neighbors heard about the story, and they wrote signs and put them on the lawn that said, "We love you and we support you." And half the class, including those three girls and the regular teacher and the principal, were there in the courthouse the day that the adoption was made official and that boy got his forever family. You know, those three girls, they were only 10 and 11 years old, but they used their God-given power. They stood up for love. They stood up for justice. And if three young girls can stand up, speak up, and refuse to shut up, what can we do? Couldn't we do something like that? If a seamstress can be so tired of injustice that she refuses to give up her seat on the bus, and she starts a whole bus boycott, an ordinary seamstress, if Rosa Parks can do that, what can we do? If a farm worker, can start a strike and get the whole nation ultimately involved and win better working conditions and better wages and rights for farm workers. If Cesar Chavez, an ordinary farm worker, can do that, what can we do? It doesn't take a doctorate, though some of you have those. It doesn't take a master's degree, though quite a few of you have those. It doesn't take a college degree, though most of you have those. No, it just takes power. God-given, spirit-filled power. We see so many without a helper. How will we use our God-given power? How will we speak up for orphans and defend widows? We see so many who are isolated and alone. How will we use our God-given power? How will we give the solitary a home and draw the lonely into community? We see so many in jail and so many in prisons of their own making. How will we use our God-given power? How will we bring prisoners to freedom? We see so many hungry and homeless. How will we use our God-given power? How will we make provision for the poor? We see the creation groaning under its destructive human rulers. How will we use our God-given power? How will we protect and heal the earth that God has entrusted to human care? Let's be Jesus' witnesses, testifying. See that? That's God's love. That's God's power at work in the world. I am only one person, but I am not alone. God's Spirit is with me, and you are with me. Together, throughout the world, we are Christ's body, filled with the Spirit Christ sent. The power belongs to God. Let's not have any illusions about that. The power belongs to God, but God has chosen to make us its conduits. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To God be the power forever and ever. Amen.